Senator Lugar, welcome to the Region Underground. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
I know you've been busy this afternoon, and we only have a few minutes, so let's get right to it. There was a meeting on in the White House. Was it in the White House today concerning Libya?
The meeting was on the budget. All 47 Republicans were gathered around the table with the president and the vice president, secretary of the Treasury, discussing how we're going to get this job done of reducing deficits, getting to a balanced budget, doing this with the fact that we must raise the debt ceiling, and that, of course, is leverage for action, and the Republicans challenging the president to be constructive and to be helpful in this process.
Have we arrived at a figure on the Republican side of the aisle? Is there a figure that you are presenting to the president to trim off the budget?
Well, the plan presented by Congressman Ryan in the House of Representatives trimmed about $4 trillion in that plan over a period of several years, but leads to a balanced budget in the course of time there. That certainly was a figure that was mentioned, and it would, in fact, bring about a move toward balance and a much more fiscally stable situation that would bring more confidence around the world as well as in our country for our budget.
Senator, are we still looking to combine Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, or are we looking now at separating and looking at each program or in each entitlement separately?
Well, Republicans today said that we really have to have the so-called entitlement programs. That includes Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and then the defense budget. This is 70% of the entire budget. And it's very difficult to talk about getting to balance without talking about each of these items. Now, there may be a specific period of time to work out reforms in Social Security, for example. Medicare has already been included in the plan offered by Congressman Ryan in the House of Representatives, which passed that House. There will be modifications for people less than 55 years of age. Those issues are on the table. They may or may not all be included in getting to the budget cuts, but everything really is on the table.
I can't, and this is just me, a little old talk show horse from Northwest Indiana, but I really can't see us addressing the Social Security problem without raising the age to, I'm not sure what the right age would be, Senator, but I think that has to be part of it, even though I think it's going to upset a lot of people. I think we're going to have to, or you individuals are going to have to, raise the age requirement.
Well, I think most reformers believe that is the case, and they point out to, I think it was 1983 when we had the last adjustment of age, which at that point saved the system until this point. Now, essentially, if there is a change in age, it will relate only to people who are now 25 or 30 years of age. In other words, there is going to be quite a long stretch before any of those persons would be coming into the retirement zone. But we are a nation that has grown older. By that, I mean simply when Social Security was adopted, the average age of Americans was about 65 when they died. It's now about 78. Now, that changes the arithmetic a whole lot. And our reform will have to reflect that.
Senator, is anyone talking about, as far as Social Security reform is concerned, about a cutoff dollar amount of making so much money, in other words, per year or over a term of years, that you would not be eligible if you make so much money for Social Security?
Well, there have been discussion of so-called means tested, and that would have something to do with the income, but I have not heard any proposal that you would be cut off from the situation. It might mean that the amounts that you would get would have some relationship if you were a very high-income person. Likewise, you might pay taxes on more of your income. Right now, there's a cutoff, as I recall, about $106,000. That's a pretty high figure for most Americans, but there are a good number of Americans that make more than that, and the Medicare tax goes right on up through whatever income you have.
I wanted to give you an opportunity also. Again, we're speaking with Senator Richard Lugar, who is in Washington, D.C. this afternoon, to address some of the the controversy in the state of Indiana as it pertains to unions and specifically the teachers' unions. Would you like to speak to them at all on either side of that issue?
Well, I've worked closely with the teacher organizations because we've been very much involved in trying to bring about, under No Child Left Behind, great progress in all of our public schools throughout Indiana. And that requires cooperation of principals, but also of teacher organizations. So we've spoken frequently to the ISTA conventions and meetings. And I would just say simply that I want to work with teachers on the basis of making certain that the qualifications for teachers are as high as possible, that people advance on merit, that there is as much cooperation between principals and teachers and superintendents as we can affect. In other words, as opposed to a confrontation, we've tried to bring about considerable cooperation. And I appreciate the support of teachers in all of that. And I believe that my attempts to work with them have merited that support, and I hope that they will continue to have that support.
Do you see vouchers coming into play anytime soon?
I think vouchers are going to be a part of our program in Indiana as well as around the nation to try to address inequities where they are found or dislocations of students or unusual geographical circumstances. It appears to me likewise that different choices or a more broad gamut of choices available to students and to parents would be a good idea.
Senator, your colleague, Dan Coats, was one of the senators who will be viewing the photographs, if they haven't already done that, of what happened in Pakistan concerning bin Laden. I don't know if you want to. What are we terming? What's the official term? Was it? I don't even know what to say. The killing, the assassination, how do we qualify that?
It was described by the president and by others as the fact that bin Laden was resisting arrest. Specifically, as it's been described, there were the Navy SEALs coming through the first floor of that house. It had apparently three floors. As they came up the staircase into the second, they found people who were armed. They shot these people, and apparently bin Laden at the end of this trail going up the stairs, sort of in a split-second decision, they felt that he was resisting arrest and he was shot. And that's as simple an explanation, but about as profound a one as we're going to have.
Can you give us, in your opinion, would you, if you were President of the United States, would you have released these photographs, these very sensitive photographs that will be viewed today by some senators?
No, because they are photographs that could be used to simply enrage people in various parts of the world that do not have a very good view of us to begin with. They simply are a possible source of more trouble. And it appears to me that there is no valid reason to be having a general release of those photos.
Senator, have you viewed these photographs?
No, I have not. And I've been invited to look at them, and I've indicated I have no need to do so.
I understand. And now, is it your understanding that Senator Coats will view the photographs if he has not already?
I don't know. I've not visited with Dan about that today. I was with him over at the White House for this meeting with the president on the budget, but we did not have a chance to talk about bin Laden.
Senator Lugar, as far as Libya, before we let you go, are we getting bogged down in a situation that we won't be able to get out of very cleanly, or what's your view there?
I think that's a real predicament, and I took advantage of the opportunity for a face-to-face, not confrontation, but conversation, very frankly, with the president, indicating to him that his authority to get into all of this was not clear at all, that we've not voted on it in the Senate. We're coming up to a deadline on the War Powers Act, that I appreciate he felt he was acting in a humanitarian way, but we were edging into much more. The president agreed. He said, I'm being pushed maybe into getting this into a bigger thing, and I'm resisting that. And I said, well, I surely hope you do. I believe that we should not be involved further in a civil war, and clearly not in the expenditure of additional hundreds of millions of dollars, having already spent hundreds of millions of our country's resources on this war.
Senator, how are we defining, what's the definition of the action being taken in the country of Libya? How can we justify it? What is the term we use?
Well, the president used the term that he was attempting to save the lives of innocent civilians.
But this isn't. I mean, this is not. Is that an official? Is that an official determination? Is that what we do worldwide in any case? Because I could name a few cases for the president where we could be saving lives of innocent people all over the world.
Of course, and this is the reason why I have opposed the action from the beginning. Indicator to that in the initial meeting with the president, which I was one of six congressional leaders sitting across from the cabin with the president in the Situation Room at the top. And I've continued to oppose this, and I've tried very hard to get the Senate to move to circumscribe at least the powers that the president has here.
Senator, we appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us today here in Northwest Indiana. I want to give you an opportunity to address or send any message you'd like to our audience before you go.
I think it's critical that we get the budget thing completed in a way that brings enthusiasm for creation of new jobs. Jobs has to be our first order. We've got to be thinking of ways in which businesses, large and small, whether in Indiana or out of Indiana, are going to create more investment and more jobs. Now, if we get the jobs, we can do a lot of things in our state. And we have a lot of agenda ahead of us, which is important, in education and in roads and in health. But the jobs have got to come first. And that's job one for me.
Well, the state of Indiana looks to me to be in a pretty good position to attract some business at this time, because a lot of people all around us, including the state of Illinois, are just pushing businesses right out of their jurisdiction. And I hope that you and a few others from Indiana can bring us some of that business.
We're inviting them right in. You bet.
You're the man. Thank you so much, Senator Lugar, and we'll speak with you again.
Thanks so much.